Amos chapter 3:3. The plan, like I said on Sunday, is that sometimes in May, June, or earlier, we'll have the part 2 of this series. In other words, we'll not get into some specific thing. Majorly, we might be dealing with marital relationships, but I want to believe that a good number of foundational things are already said to us already. So Amos chapter 3:3, and like I did counsel some of us who were so conclusive about the series for me. They had gotten to the end. I said, wait till I'm done. So that you are not, you know, quickly go and start calling some people. I know we are supposed to be friends. You know, that's quite presumptuous. So take your time and wait. Taking your time. And calm down until we're through. So you will not be friends with the devil. Amos 3:3, okay? Can two walk together except they be agreed to what we saw? One of them was the word Yahad, which we said had to do with an appointment, where two things are united together, and the word walk alak. And we said it has to do with having a place of concord between God and his prophets and God and his word. And it says, except they be agreed, except they are united together. And that goes with any kind of sin. I gave you that illustration on Sunday. That assuming, I told you how I came on a train, and train was going elsewhere, because London trains are something I've never studied, and I'm not interested in studying them. Because I don't live there. I don't try to study a place where I'm not going to live. So I just keep asking. In fact, the someone that said, you keep asking me how to take a train here. And I don't live here. He said, but you've been coming here for years. I don't live here. You know, but that day I was going elsewhere, and I asked the guy, so I said, what are you doing here? Like, I mentioned where I was going, he said, what are you doing on this? I said, and we had gone very far. And I said, no matter how far you are going, if you are not on the bus with someone going to the same place, you won't get to where you are going to. So I said to us on Sunday, do not make relationships on sentiment. It's not wise. It's not smart. Because eventually you'll have to sustain that relationship by sentiment. So why begin, you know, unwisely? Can two walk together except if they agree? And in Matthew's Gospel 28:18-20, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of every nation. Verse 10 of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Which is, the resurrection becomes the focus of the teaching. And we said, the resurrection is a message, is also a relationship. The resurrection does not bring a relationship. It is in itself a relationship. And we are saying what it is to us. It's marriage. It's a nation. It's being birthed in the same family. It's being subjects of a king. It's being neighbors. So the resurrection is a union. In other words, we learn relationship in the gospel. You know, I was saying this to someone a couple of hours ago. It was a friend, actually, a pastor friend. And I said, yes, when it comes to business, for example, it's just smart to go to a business school. I think you don't need to pray for to go to a business school. When it comes to health, supernaturally and spiritually, you stay in church, you learn about the supernatural, walk by faith. But because it's your physical body, and the physical body does not require praying in tongues to know what to eat tomorrow morning. So you might have to once in a while get consultation, you know. Whilst it's good for churches to once in a while have people come to talk to you about your health, but I usually try to be careful because oftentimes people substitute one for the other. So it's always wise that a church stays with what it is called to do, and which is the gospel, but should not shy away from telling people that getting counsel about your health outside the church is not unspiritual. You get my point. Because people oftentimes will take anything said on the pulpit as authoritative. I will take medical instructions as authoritative, even though they're advisory and helpful. I'll take God's word as authoritative. But anything people see on the pulpit, they oftentimes consider as final. So, and there are very few people I've found in life who are able to. Now, I'm being forced to use this word. It's a Brother Hagin word. I don't like the word, but I like the truth. It is being balanced. You know, there's very few people in life I found out that they actually can embrace all of a truth. So, if you say today that, for example, if you say today that, I'm going to talk about that tomorrow in the study. If you say today that, you don't need, it's not prayer that makes you prosper. Some guys will say you don't need to pray at all. You know, that's the way some people think. It's the first word. Every other thing after is insignificant. It's the first word. If you tell people, for example, that when it comes to having a future partner, you know, open your eyes, you know, I should open my eyes. I should not pray. So the first word is the word of God. So anything you say after that, then afterwards pray. They have gone. So people oftentimes they don't have to embrace everything you are saying. That's why some guys like our camp meetings, don't like our World Changers conferences. You get the point. Someone said, when it comes to honor, sales committee, their teachings are extreme. When it comes to salvation, even though the guy has hyper grace gospel, but we're extreme on other things. But he has hyper grace gospel. You know, he has developed teaching ears without knowing. So oftentimes people don't know how to hear everything you are saying. You know? Oftentimes, pray is pray. But pray and think, which one? It's not, they'll rather pray and not think than pray and think, or think and forget prayer. So, I said, so that's why it's very, the church should be careful to ask someone to come and give medical advice. We've done it before, 2007, I think, and ask one of our doctors to talk to us. You know, before you know it, I'll be confessing God's word. They'll be confessing what the doctor said. So, I'd rather say the church should therefore tell folks, yeah, you can get counsel from medical doctors and all of that, and it boils down to that. But when it comes to your conduct, someone now asked me a question. This is where I was going to. He said, well, what about, can a Christian go for marriage therapy classes? I said, what's marriage therapy class? They will look at the two of you and your temperament. What's your own greatest fear? She. What's our own greatest fear? My mother-in-law. Okay, sit down. Let us be able to match the fears and produce faith. You know, that's it. I said, you don't need. I said, because that deals with your conduct and your personality. You must submit your personality to the word of God alone. That's where it differs. And all of that. And people have asked, I mean, the guy asked that question. I said, you don't have to. God's word, as we have seen, we have been teaching relationship. We don't have to refer to anything psychological and all of that. We just stay with the truth of God's word. So therefore, the gospel itself, therefore, it informs how we relate. It is how God relates with us, and so it becomes how we relate. That said, on Sunday we now began to look at some fundamentals of friendship. I'm just going to go over a few things I said on Sunday. We said that friendship, therefore, will be who is your friend, the person that you share life together. Remember that? The person you do life together. And you sit down and ask myself this question, can I do life with this person? I believe I said a couple of them. If I go over Sunday's one, we'll be here till 12 p.m. or 12 midnight. 12 p.m., that's tomorrow. And we said you choose your friends, remember? You must choose your friends. I chose you, Jesus said, John 15, 14 and 15. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. So, friendship is important to know you chose. Now, let me mention something. And I think it's critical that you get that. You know, you can choose to be a friend to someone, But don't think it's automatic that they are your friends. So it's good to find out whether you are friends. You know, on Sunday we said there are two kinds of relationships. There's one that is symbiotic, where both of you work together, and there's also parasitic. And some people are married to parasites. Now, I'm not talking about someone that's looking for your money. That's even if you have. But there are people that are so emotionally bankrupt, and they are attention seeking. In other words, and I heard a lot that I said, women like attention. What's the meaning of that? That they're attention seeking, and you know, there are some folks that they want to talk to you all the time. They want to see you all the time. They want to, you know, you find out that what is it about you that I will need to spend all the time with you? Are you God? No. Are you the devil? No. So, of what eternal value would you be that will spend eternity with you? Think about that. So people get into relationships and say, I want somebody who will be there for me all the time. There is nothing wrong having friends who are there for you. But I think you should also say that I will also be there for. So, by the time somebody misses you and starts to cry, just one day, whether male or female or both, it is a red flag. I told you the story on Sunday about my friend. But it's the friend that we composed that song together. How the lady said, when we get married 2 years, we do nothing, no ministry, nothing. And she knew what she was saying because she came from a very wealthy background. We're going to be together for 2 years. So everything I dreamed of, you know, people like that, they watch movies. We're going to go to the mountains, we're going to ski, we're going to do this, we're going to go to Himalayas Mountain, we're going to go to Mount Everest together, we'll take parachutes, things that she has seen in cartoons. You become the that it might be fulfilled. So you must do it. Blah 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 blah. So my friend said that. I said she went as far as we're not going to even have kids. It's just going to be you and I. We're going to do no ministry, no pastoring, nothing. So I said this on Sunday. We just marched into our room where we were together then. Said, when you raised the two of them, so I said, go to the room. We stayed out. I remember the room, H14, Queens Hall. And we stayed outside. Yeah, H14. We stayed outside. It's the hall behind. We stood outside. He was going inside to break up. When he broke up, said, it's done. Went to do Holy Ghost meeting. he has put Satan under your feet. How can Satan announce to you on time? And then you are still thinking. Is it a temptation? It's not a temptation. It's a revelation. So don't become the host of a parasite. And that can go emotionally, can also, even spiritually speaking, that you want to marry a man, now I'm talking marry some here, who is always giving you the word. You don't have word. You want to marry a man, someone say, I want to marry a praying wife. What about you? Prayer project. What kind of an irresponsible statement is that? So you will go outside and go and be with the boys. Be hanging out like Judas. She will not sleep and be going to all sorts of mountains. That will not move. I said, no. So just give me a word. And who needs that kind of friend? I want someone that, even when I'm getting it wrong, can go and say, can pray for me. Not, I'm looking onto you. I'm looking at you. I'm looking for somebody to look at. There was somebody in the ministry that, you know, who was experiencing persecution at home. I usually give pastors this counsel. So, the parents didn't like the idea she was in the ministry. So she would go home come back, and then say, ah, they said this, oh, they said that, oh, they said, almost like, you know, it's because of you. You know that kind of thing? I mean, if you are coming, they said this, oh, okay. So, oftentimes I'll say, pray, study. After a point, I say, ah. And I'm in another error. I now went to the home to go and talk to the parents. Oh God, I would never do that again. I went to become the guarantee of the covenant. I would never do that again. You know, and then eventually, I said, hold on! Remember the spot? We just came up from Okada. I said, stop it! Okada is actually an international mode of transportation. So I said, madam, who lives in you? Said Jesus Christ. Who lives in me? Jesus Christ. Do I live in you? No. So trust him. Whatever you are going through, it's for his sake. I'm just a brother around. I was facing my own. You want me to? Don't come and be calling Pastor Tunde. You two go and pray. Talk to Jesus. There's not a friend like the Lord Jesus. No, not one, including me. So it's just right. The pastor said, hey, I'm calling you. Hey, pastor said, just tell the person, pray. You know what I tell you? Eventually, person now said, I was responsible for a problem with our family. See what I'm saying? You know, you have a name. They will call it. But it's safe to say, trust God. Some of you are saying, oh, that's why pastor can't say, like, exactly. Trust God. Believe God. So what do I do, sir? Do the word. It's because you must be an individual, and when you commit crime, is in your. That's why you have a name. Bear your name. So I tell people, don't have a friend like that. Now, does it mean in persecution I can't cancel you? I can. But what if I also have? I'll just look at you and say, oh, problem. I won't be able to turn to you. And that is not good, particularly for a relationship like marriage that you are going to. In fact, if you are doing life together with your friends, with the person you are married to, you are in life together. And so I wrote something that will come to you in a moment. And I said that every relationship is a risk. Minimize your risks. Do you understand? Minimize it. The man who is on fire for God, praying in the Holy Ghost, who is in church all day, he can still backslide. And so he keeps hearing the word, study group, prayer group, spirit group, Holy Ghost group, Wednesday service, midweek service, fellowship meeting, Sunday service, seminar, OCWCC, prayer chain. He's doing all of that. And yet, he has temptation all over him. You are not going to a man who doesn't like things like that. And you are trying to first change him. You spend all day to first change the person or her. Then start to now work on the person not backslide. Do you get the point? You are not minimizing your risks at all. Why not be smart about it? You, how many things, I read something to you on Sunday, that how many of your own habits have you changed? Yeah. So therefore, minimize your risks and ensure that you don't take a stupid risk. That's, by the way. So we said that a friend is like those four guys in Luke 5 who carried their friend to Jesus. Very symbolic. They risked their reputation, risked shame, and took him to Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? He said he saw their faith. So a friend is that brother, that sister, who is able to take you to Jesus, or in this context, is able to make you walk in God's purpose and plan. We said friends are encouragers. Okay, let's just go to something said Sunday. We said identify your friend. Remember that? I asked you a question. Do you, how many of you have more than 24 hours? Nobody. How many have more than 60 seconds in a minute? No. 60 minutes in an hour? No. So don't spread yourself thin. You can't be friends with everybody. That is stupidity. Alright? You can be friendly with everybody. You can be cordial with everybody. But you can't be friends with everyone. You will be wasted eventually. Always know who is who. Have your 12. Have your 3. Have your Peter. Have the 70. Have the 120. And then the crowd. And I said, what will make you have that distinction is your priority in life. That's why sometimes we get shocked when a very Jim means very spiritual brother or sister, gets married to a very strange person. Or just discover a strange relationship. I always say it like this. It's not strange. The person was just hiding his or her priorities. There is no way, if you are truly fervent for the gospel, you cannot be close to somebody who is not. But if it happens at all, it's because that really was your hidden priority. It just had an opportunity to be found. And so we found someone like that in Judas. Consistently, he was warned and he had traits of what he did eventually. So when you find people, suddenly, I say, how can that brother? Yeah, and that brother was very fervent in university. It was, he hadn't gotten to the point where he had to make a choice. So when he or she had to make a choice, the choices really were informed by his or her priorities. And that, you know, makes it important for you to ask yourself, what exactly is my priority? There was no way I would have even thought otherwise. I couldn't admire somebody who was not a preacher of the gospel. It was never going to happen. Do you understand? It's not something that I was going to pray about. No. I won't start praying till I saw that first. So it's not like, Lord, is it she? Is it him? Are they two? I mean, I just say, let me pray. Any prayer you pray at that point is twinkle, twinkle, little star. What is my priority? This is my priority. And we said you must share values together. So you identify who a friend is. And then on Sunday, which is what we are going to emphasize at the end of this service, we said, therefore, your close associations must be divine. Can you remember that? They must be divine. They must be by the leading of the Spirit. Don't forget the Peter that became Jesus' closest ally. He was weak. He was unstable. But the fact is, he was the one that Jesus was led to. Don't have an accidental friend. And I said to you on Sunday, don't make friends who suddenly show up at those moments where you are very weak, spiritually speaking, where your judgments are, you know, they are basically, your judgments are compromised, you know. Somebody was telling me this story about a sister who got married to somebody who obviously the guy was a former university classmate, but when they lost their dad, you know, the church folks were not there for her. So this guy just showed up, was always there every day, brought food, brought this, brought that. Of course, not that she was hungry, but the food just ministered to her at that moment. I mean, what happened to Eve? Literally speaking. So, you know, I'm trying to say that, you know, appetites can be very crazy. And so she, at that point, she just said, this guy is nice. But at that moment, she's low. Of course, the brethren too had their problem because the brethren did not show up. But then, devil showed up. So, guy was there, you know, send a text, do all this, you know, come back from work. And he was walking not too far from the estate, so he would just drive in, take her out. And the thing is that he didn't propose anything to her, but at your age, you should know now. Do I need to say it? You know, somebody will leave his office. Come and be carrying you. Who are you? I say it's not platonic. No. It's military. It's platonic. Platonic or Antonini. And he came all the way. So, obviously, our emotions were compromised. And she started having problems with the church. So I said, she's like, is that how the body of Christ should be? I didn't want that kid, your father. And the guy would now say, no, relax. No, don't judge anybody. He knew where he was going. Don't judge anybody. You know, so the guy just showed up and he's a nice guy and he's all, you know, all that. And they got married. After 4 children, she's now remembering she was called of God. That's a conference call. You can't be the only person in the call again. That call is shared. That's a conference call. You know a conference call? You, somebody. So just know that from that day forward, there's a consistent counseling you'll be receiving from your pastor. Cease, endure. Amen. So therefore, we said identify your friends. Two, we said friendship is partnership, right? Metoche, 2 Corinthians 6, we said that is somebody you are partnering. And then I mentioned something on Sunday that, remember that thing we said about technology? That you don't want to do anything that has efforts. So you want to ask questions, you go to Google. You know, you don't want to call somebody and say, and then you have a conversation. Who is Jesus? How do I eat food? But you know, it takes away the place of community where I can ask somebody a question. The fact that the person answers enough is why God created humanity. So you mustn't replace humanity with devices. I said that on Sunday, right? No matter how important your phones are, they are not your partners. Hope you know. You know they break down and they can be stolen. And when they are stolen, the new owner will use it perfectly. Exactly. You know, have you seen your WhatsApp or emails hacked? Okay, exactly. That's what it means. So it means that it's your phone is not your partner. Alright? And also ensure, I'm talking to families and friends. You know, let's be careful how we are home and everybody's away. You get it? You know what I mean? You are home and everybody has traveled. Somebody is talking to somebody in America, another person is in Australia. And there's nobody at home, but you are physically there. And you're smiling. Everybody's smiling at somebody else. And when they now stop using the device, look at them and say, yes. You know, that is madness. People that you have not seen, you trust. Those you can see, you don't trust. You know, you are not wise. You are not wise. People do dating online, and so when the calendar comes to them, are you surprised? No. I told you a search ID. Somebody did that. I did too. Rent a friend. And I got 410 million results. People need friends. Facebook friends are not your friends. Say amen. I think you know that by now. A friend is somebody you share life together, right? Okay, you share life. You do life together. People that you want to see, they want to see you. Okay, we also said the friend is the person you lay down your life for. John 15:13. Friends encourage you, don't tell you lies. Not, you can do it! No, that's not a friend. Not telling you lies. You're the most beautiful person in the world. But, well, it's not always like that. A friend can say you're not looking nice today. Something like that. You know, and just telling you, a friend will help you maximize your potentials, sometimes throw you to the winds, throw you at challenges so that you can pass through it very well. A friend and God's plan are key. So we said friends, therefore, I told you my story. Friends helped my preaching ministry. I just told you my friend that we composed a song together. Why? Because he came to teach, and when he taught, the song came out. So that's friendship. We're able to, and I told you that Pastor Larry Amoso was someone, we used to call him Bishop. He was one of the very cool guy, very extremely cool guy. You know, whenever we are doing meetings, he's the one that is cooking food for us. He did one thing very crazy one day. We were doing a study together, so he went to make yam, and he brought out the yam unpeeled. We didn't peel the yam, just cooked it like that. I've never seen a human being like that before. So I said, "How much was this?" He said, the word, focus on the word. You know, but the truth is that, you know, that conviction we eventually bred to teach the wholesome doctrine of Jesus Christ, to be focused on the New Testament, was traced to his commitment to it. So friends are, they will help your ministry. We are in ministry. We said friends also, you know, don't use your culture to judge friendship. Don't use your personality also. Personality is changing by the word. I'm just trying to go through what we said last week on Sunday so that I can hit today's service. We also said friends forgive, right? Okay? 7 and 7, that means you keep forgiving. Friends are merciful, they're patient. That's love. Love is not, you know. Friends also, love can be confrontational. Remember we said that? Oh, foolish Galatians. You guys are stupid. You guys are perverse. A friend therefore knows that when you say you are not okay, he doesn't take any offense. And I tell people this. You know, I was saying this to even those who I pastor. I said, when you are younger, when pastor says you are not fine, something is wrong with you. You saw it as a reason to change. But when it gets to a point that he says that, and then you start feeling offended, something has happened to your heart. Because you know it doesn't mean he disrespects you. You know, friends are guys you can say to yourself, oh God, are you fine? And you know, you will say, who are you talking to? You know, friends, I mean, there's my childhood friend, we grew up together, Tunde Adeyemi, a medical doctor in Birmingham. But this kind of guy, when we see, this is how we greet, idiots, till now. So, but I'm the one that starts it. He said, then he now says, sure, okay, man of God, man. You know how we, that's how, our parents were best of friends, that's how they used to greet each other, we saw it. When the dad comes to me and says, is that foolish man in the house? That's how they, I mean, but now, if that gets to a point where, and you know, that's just friendship. Then the guy says, who are you talking to? Something has happened. Now, I'm not asking you to be greeting yourself like that. I'm just telling you that friends have that kind of language where it's because we know we trust each other and we're there for each other. So I can say, you are not well. Do you understand? Remember, I entered the friend's room. I told you on Sunday who was going to contest for president of TISA in UI. I said, how far? I said, what is far? And I just said, something that's missing in your brain. He said, what have I done? So I said, you're going to resign. You know, and that's friendship. But you know, I can't walk up to anybody and say something that's missing your brain. He said, did you miss road? So friends can be tough. Oh, fools and slow of heart. Only Jesus can say that to his friends. Friends also make demands. Philemon and Paul. Okay, so we said all of that on Sunday and just going over it. So we also said, you know, we thought friends groom you. I said on Sunday that everybody likes to prune, right? You like to prune your garden, weed, and stuff like that. But nobody wants to be the garden. You want to be the garden. Where, you know, we like this statement, Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpened iron. Have you ever thought about literally what that means? Proverbs 27:17. Look at it. Iron, look at it. Come on, let's read it together. Proverbs 27:17. Are you there? Come on, let's take it together. Iron sharpened iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Now, have you ever wondered what that means? Iron and iron. Have you ever seen them? You know, it's not really so nice. A sharpened iron. You can't sharpen iron with wood. Come on. So it's tough love. Tough love, the kind of love that keeps you in the will of God. The kind of love that is tough. You know, that keeps you in the will of God. The kind of love that makes you not become a heretic. The kind of love that makes you become a responsible family man. The kind of love that makes you a responsible citizen. The kind of love that makes you a responsible person. Okay? The kind of love that sees you on a Tuesday when you're to be in your fellowship meeting and says, what are you doing here? I came to hang out with you. Hang out with me. Do I look like someone that wants to commit suicide? Go to your meeting. Do you understand? That is iron sharpener. It's not the easy kind of, I understand. I feel you. Feel what? That's not good friendship. Iron sharpening iron. That is, it's tough. It's tough. A friend should be the kind of person that you should be able to marry somebody, for example, that you are right there on the bed in your bedroom. You just even had sex. And then you notice that, you didn't wake up to pray. And then she says, are you okay? Why don't we just have a good moment? So, there's priority here. We're having sex because there's a purpose we're living for. And we must face it. So a friend is like that. Don't marry a nanny. Nannies can't scold you. Because if they do it, the parents will get angry. Marry somebody who is a friend or who becomes one. I says, hey, what's all that? And they were the road into a man's heart is what again? Have you read Meat for the Belly? It's his belly. And the Bible says their God is their belly. You know what you have just married? You understand? So you are honing your skills in the kitchen. Alright? That's all you know to do. Cook, 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 cook. Is that cooking human beings? Cook, 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 cook. Doesn't mean you have good conduct. Doesn't mean you are prayerful. Doesn't mean you know how to hear from God. You're cook, 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 cook. So you think that if the guy has a challenge, it's food that he's going to eat. Don't give him food. Give me your food. Give me spicy, hot and nice. Give me your food. Of course not! Praise God. There are moments we have to stay up late and pray. You guys say, honey, I'm tired. You better become B. Get up! Go to pray! Amen. So set all that priorities right, okay? Amen. Let's go on. So, iron, sharpened iron. I gave you the story of Kerekobla and Gerekobla. Have I done that? Oh, very good. Okay, I gave Dr. Abel's one and also Kenneth Hagin and Aretha Hagin. So, what does a friend do when you are in trial? James 1:2. Count it all joy. Right? Come on. A friend will act on the word when you are facing trials. Job's friends were rebuked by God because he gave the wrong answer. Rebuked by God. A friend will stand on the word with you even when you are facing trials. What about a friend reminding you of prophecies? Come on. 1 Timothy 1:18. I charge you that poison have gone before on you that you should wage a warfare with them. He will remind you that this is what you said God told you to do. A friend will remind you of prophecies, 1 Timothy 4:14, and say, don't neglect the gift of God in you. A friend will remind you, 2 Timothy 1:6, to stir up the gifts of God in you. That's what a friend will do. That's what a friend will do. So a friend helps you to do that. It's tough, but it will remind you. A friend also tells you to beware. So we point out a few concepts on Sunday. I'll just go over that as well. Jesus was a friend to Judas. Correct? Come on. But Judas was not a good friend to Jesus. And I pointed out something else to that. When they were at the Passover table, and Jesus said, one of you will betray me. Now, listen carefully to what I said on Sunday. I'm going to say it again so that you will understand the import. And every one of the 12 said the same thing. Is it me? Which means that in every relationship we are in, we all have the tendencies to betray. Every one of them asked, is it I, Lord? That's why nobody spotted Judas eventually. It took Judas's self immolation, they call it that. The suicide to be spotted. Is it high? And I said to us that you must be a good friend. It's Christianity to be a good friend. Is it I? They all ask the question. So now we ask the question, why did Judas do it? And I said, well, we don't have clear answers, but there are possibilities. Maybe money. Because most of them thought that Jesus as the Messiah will be the guy that will bring back wealth and all of that. And if he's the Messiah, he's going to be the king. My mind goes to David. I'm looking at economic power, commercial power, political power. But then this guy starts to talk about death. So it's not unlikely that Judas was disappointed. The fact that a friend disappoints you doesn't make you betray. I often say it like this. Now, in my training as a lawyer, and all lawyers know this, they often say that you take the testimony of one, an ex-employee, an ex-spouse divorced, very carefully. Because oftentimes they say it's tainted with a whole lot of malice. So why is that so? Because sometimes people are disappointed. If people are happy, they won't get divorced. So definitely it will be much out of malice. Now I said that to say this. It's not likely that Judas was disappointed. Why does he want to die? Let me make it easy for him. Maybe he was under pressure. Maybe. Or maybe he just felt, because you know in Matthew 20, all of them said, they were angry at James and John. Why would they want to sit at the right and left? Obviously within their heart they wanted to stay there as well. Maybe Jesus didn't offer him what he wanted. And at that moment, low moment, and he had enough tendencies to become that, because they called him a thief as well. So which means he had been showing traits of someone that will eventually do what he did. And he was warned. And Jesus said, it would have been better if he was not born. That's a very strong statement. But then we differentiated between Peter and Judas, remember? Can you remember? That Judas did not own up. Peter owned up. Because why would you kill yourself? You're not going to own up to what you did. Peter owned up, one. That's why the denial account, he was the one that told the story. Nobody was there. He told the story himself. And also, he was not far from the folks. Some people make some very silly mistakes. I've said this to you over and over. One of the first things Satan does to people, particularly maybe they have an offense-related issue, they're disappointed, is to separate them from certain relationships so that they can be totally annihilated and destroyed. So you see a guy fell into sin, then he starts coming to church. How does that relate? Where you ought to come to his church. It's like saying, I fell sick so I can't go to the hospital. That's where you go to church. So you find people say, then they start looking for reasons. They first say, well, I'm feeling bad. Then they don't love me. Then, are they even of God? Is there God? It always graduates. But Peter stayed with that same company. They were together. So it's critical. Somebody said this to me, and it blessed me. It was an elderly minister. It's been a 70 years ministry. He said that your relationships are everything. That when it comes to fulfilling God's plan for your life, who you hang out with, who you go through life with, is 75% of it. And I totally agree. So we have here that friends, therefore we said, are people that stand with you in prayer. Remember that? Can't you watch with me for 1 hour? Do you have friends that can pray an hour? If Jesus needed friends that can pray an hour, I think you do. But you have this guy always around here and say, 1 hour! What are you people saying? My dad once told me, you know, we used to have this issue about praying, so we'll fight and fight. One day we now stopped fighting. He now said, you mean you were praying? He said, what are you talking about? How old are you? I said, I see you. You're a very honest and decent boy. So how many sins do you even have that you are confessing for 4, 5, 6 hours? There's nothing you have done. So you have a friend like that who says, 1 hour? He says, what? So I was in church from 7 o'clock. Why are you in church at 7 o'clock? So 1 o'clock, I said, and you say, cool down now. Should we are friends? Are you well? I can be your friend. Also, we mentioned this, and then that don't reach people that have a sense of entitlement. There are some folks like that. If you offend them, they will hang that offense on your head. At the rapture, they will still remind you. There are folks like that. They use diaries. They write it down. 6 p.m. You said this. Someone was talking to me when we were having a conversation. He said, I have 34 instances. Somebody who had taught the word said 34 instances. So people really, it's opportunities that reveal what they believe. There was a guy that left the ministry. Remember that guy? I said, sister, when I saw this, I said, oh, I need this karma. Love karma. You believe in after the word no more, you are saying love karma. So people actually are superstitious. Saw the word, they'll say, God, what was that song again? Your word, my heritage, I will just as you see me. The sing God, just as you think of me. But it's just a song. They believe in karma. So I listen well to you. You believe in karma? I don't believe in karma. You better you go and worship karma. We can't worship together. Nobody like that. So opportunities present themselves. I told you, always watch how they treat others. When a fisherman, okay, if a fisherman, for example, starts to have an aquarium where he puts fish, you should understand that it's for a purpose. It's the same way you feed your chickens before Christmas. The guy is not walking in love. So, some care and affection as a goal. Sailor. Ask the chickens. So, in relationships and friendships, we must have people that we are walking through life together. And Paul had someone like that in Philemon. Philemon is a friendship epistle. And let's go to Philemon and see some PowerPoints or key areas. The first thing about Philemon is Paul's friend, or Philemon. Philemon, I'm told to say, but I'm saying Philemon. Number one, Philemon was a guy who obviously was walking in the word. Philemon 4. I thank God, my God, making mention of you in my prayer. Somebody that Paul was praying for. We'll come to that. If you don't want your friends to be devils, pray for them. Did you hear that? Okay. You know, sometimes we forget to pray for our friends. Particularly when they are people of the word. I'm suggesting this. Almost like you don't think you have to pray for somebody very close to you, except they have a problem. So they always say, pray with me. Oh, my boss at work said that they're going to lay on people. Say, pray, stand with me in prayer. No. That's not. I should be praying for you always. Let me ask you to do this. Do you have days in the week? I used to create Thursdays. Now I've split it. But when I was quite younger, I had Thursdays. And I used it for a purpose. At Tuesdays as well. You can have like what you call a prayer book where you pray for certain friends. And it's not because they are passing through anything. It's just like Paul said, I always make mention of you in prayer. So friends are like that to you. So Philemon was someone like that to Paul. He says, look, I'm praying for you that the commission of your faith become effectual. But according to every good that is in Christ Jesus, okay? Then he says, I have great joy of your love. So Philemon has proven love, a proven guy. He's proven that he walks in love and he's great. So, Paul says, well, I've seen that, but now let me put you to test. There's someone that is dear to my heart, Onesimus. And you have to treat Onesimus the way I treat him. And that's the way he goes. So, he says to Philemon, and he puts a demand on their relationship. But did you understand that in Paul's demand of Philemon, the supply was more? That's the difference between a parasitic relationship and a symbiotic relationship. Paul was praying for him. Paul taught him the word. Paul says, you know, you owe me your very life. So if he asked him to do something for Onesimus, he was not making a demand that didn't have an exceeding supply. Let me see if you understand what I'm talking about. So, friendship there means that I'm only, there's something they call in the business world, I'm drawing from favors. I'm calling favors. So, people often say in the business world that, I don't want to call a favor yet. And I remember one time that my dad wanted to help someone. And the guy's name was supposed to be on the medical school, the lease, and somehow they didn't get his name there. So the guy said that he was going to write jump. So he now told me. He said, this is right jump. I said, which school? He mentioned it. I said, the registrar. Today became registrar because of my dad. So I went to tell my dad. My dad said, blah, 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 blah. I said, no, that guy shall come to another jam. So we drove to the registrar's house. It was almost on his way out. You know, my dad said, well, so. He said, okay. So what do we do? He said, you are the one that will decide that. He said, but the boy must be a student of the school. And I said, He said, okay. So we got to the car and I said, George, I said, we're going to the office. I said, no. He said, it's not because of registrar alone, no. He said, we'll come back from way in Ife. So he told me a story like that. I can't say it here. It's a caucus thing. He said, so he has to do it. He know he has to do it. So when I was able to come register, he knew he had to do it. But there was supply, okay? That's the key. That's the key element there, is that there was supply. So it's not like, I say that my friend. No supply. When there is friendship, there's supply. I mean, there's sometimes like that people just, some guys that will write you a letter to come and preach for them. Because you are not. Some guys just phone call. Emoji, you go there? I go there. That's supply. Do you get it? That's how it works. So, every relationship has that kind of connection. So you ask yourself, what am I supplying in this relationship? It's not always money. Alright? I told you the fickle things to build life on. Don't build life on money. Don't build life on sex. Don't build life on we go out together, we have fun. See. Many things in life are not funny. Do you understand? When you start growing up, some things are not funny. They don't require just fun. Fun? So it's not, you see. Social media, is a lie, oh. I mean, big lie. So some of you, when you see some friends, the social media, you start having hypertension. John has gone. Gone to where? You want to go to where he has gone to? Save Johnny. So, you ask yourself, it's not about money. It's not about, I told you, did I tell you about a guy who gave his wife everything she wanted? Just because he didn't want to have anything to do with her. Imagine that. You gave somebody everything she wanted because you don't want to be seeing her. And she was okay with it. It was her own. Friends never rejoice when you have a problem. I'll tell you that. You see, the worst kind of people can have around you are those who take advantage of you when you are vulnerable. There was something that happened, and I go back today and I say, I will do better next time. And I remember to talk about it a couple of years back. You know, of course, I was younger. It's 22 years, 20, this is 2020, right? That's 22 years ago. So we had, of course, friends, and people really didn't like us. In fact, we used to have songs we used to sing. Because they would call us all sorts of names. So we had this song. I'll sing one of them for you. That song. Okay, then don't let me sing it. So I will sing it. It's a song we used to sing to just mock those who were mocking us. But somewhere along the line, we now had our own interpersonal issues. So, we already have people who were against us, who preached against us. I mean, who prophesied against us. All sorts of stuff. People have seen. In fact, somebody once saw one of us say, I saw his spirit bent. Some things are interesting. I've seen also. I've been in meetings where people were prophesying. I said, Mama, Rogo, yeah. The person I'm talking about is here. The Lord is saying 5 years. 5 years. And I was there. I said, yeah. The person is the pastor everywhere. We are friends. So we talk. The teaching of the Spirit is going to dry up. So we had all of that. And there was no pressure on our friendship. And oftentimes, you have to be very cautious. When people have put that kind of pressure on your friendship, sometimes it will get to you. Unconsciously, you start feeling distressed, like burdened, and somehow we now snapped. I did. So, to one of our friends who heard at that time, to show that we were ready to fight. Of course, they knew that I was the most vocal. So, the moment I came in, I said, this is my position. I came in from South Africa and afterwards. I said, this is my position. And he said, Shegun has said this. He said, let's go and see him. See how bad it was that night. I'm saying it because it's been years. Brothers was there. So he said, let's go. He said, let's go. We walked from inside the University of Ibadan to UCH at 1 a.m. to go and deal with a friend. So we got there, we called our friend out. Of course, I was a spokesperson. I said my mind. So somebody took notes of what had happened. Now I went to meet the people that were coming upon our souls. That Sunday, it happened on a Friday night. That Sunday, the man came on the pulpit and mentioned all our names in the teaching. You know, it was like we gave them the, and that was it. So they hit at that point. And I'll confess, that means I was a bad friend. At such vulnerable moments, you have to look at the bigger picture. There is the bigger picture. Looking back now, that's why today I'm almost 100%, in fact, 200% merciful. I look at people and say, look, this is how I say to people. I say, well, if a great man of God has a problem, maybe it's moral, maybe it's anything, I say, it's better we preserve this one. Because our guys, they have no use. I don't know how I can say this. Look, this guy, we can correct his problem. And he will still be useful. These ones, they have no problem to correct and they are no use. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. And please, if you don't understand, don't understand it. So I go back and think, we'd have done better. You know, at all. It was just emotions. And a bad one at that. And, you know, it was an opportunity. So I understood scripture when it says that when you hit the shepherd, you scatter the flock. We all have to understand that in every relationship there is someone who binds us. It's a fact. In every church, in every ministry, there's somebody that binds you. And in that relationship, the person can be the most important person. So when people are struggling to get people out of their churches sometimes, I tell them, can you do the pastoring? No. So you just want to get part of their church. So they'll be hanging somewhere. I said, look, your case is like somebody who is in the plane. And then you start having turbulence. You say, there's turbulence. So you say, I want to jump out. No way. You say, let's jump a parachute. No. The power of God. Okay, go and meet the power of God. You actually see it. At least this pilot can take, let's still trust him. Do you get the point? Than to have nobody at all who is piloting your flight in the air. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Anyway, friends, therefore, will never let you fall. Friends at your vulnerable moments will ensure that they cover you, 1 Peter 4:8 says, love covers a multitude of sins. You know, a friend never is excited at your loss or anything. How many of you like football? Not American football. Let me show you how you do. Raise your hand now. Raise it very well. Yes, this is a good church. Now, have you ever witnessed an own goal before? Do you know how it is? Let me tell you one story. I support Abiola Babes. You know Abiola Babes? Against Leventis. And I really loved Abiola Babes. So I watched Abiola Babes. So there was one FA Cup final. That day. The sickness I fell into, it was near to death. This is how, I forgot the guy's name. He was supposed to just pass back to the keeper, but the keeper had come out. And Levent and Abiola Babes, those days where they were head to head. And I had boasted, Abiola Babes, Abiola Babes. That's how the guy kicked the ball into the net. His own net. I started crying. I used to cry for football. When Brazil gave us 3-0, I saw off the team. I went to the airport to see these guys of Etinesin, Adilu Adekola, them. I went to the airport. In fact, I shook their hand and said, "You're best player. You are this." Very happy. First game, 3-0. It wasn't funny, oh. I was sick 1 week. 3-0. So imagine that own goal. How can you do this? Who knows God will do? When Nigeria was going to come and walk up, that's why I said that Egypt, that they will move the game to 3 o'clock so Egyptians will not see the ball. They beat us here. So the guy played the ball into the net. How do you feel in an own goal? You feel betrayed. When people are speaking against your friend publicly, even if he was wrong, and you add your voice, it's an own goal. You don't score for an opponent. Do you understand? You can't be so angry with your captain. Then they give you the ball. Pass to the keeper. What is even wrong with you? What is even wrong with you? What did he not score that ball? And you're going to your net. Did your head hit something? You can't be so angry as your coach, then turn to your goalkeeper. Did you hear what I'm trying to say? No matter what it is, stand up for your friends. Did you hear what I'm saying? You cannot get indoors. Have you ever seen a team fight themselves on the team? They are finished. Let me show you another one. Or an opponent scores. One of you say, "Wow!" Even if you like the goal, you wait till you get home. Do you know what I'm talking about? even if it is true. there are some goals. You know when Ronaldo scored against Juventus? Juve fans clapped, but not Juve players. Imagine Buffon saying, Ronaldo, that's the last time. He will be a goalkeeper for any team. Because in the team, we play together. Okay? So therefore, don't score own goals. Alright? Don't score relationship own goals. Now, therefore, that means that every relationship must have a goal. I must also realize the opponents. There are things that will oppose your marriage, your ministry relationship. Things are going to oppose you. Anything that has no opposition has no effectiveness in the earth. There must be something opposing your marriage, opposing your relationship if it's divine and supernatural. So don't see opposition and then start to, you know, almost scream. No. To strengthen you. Marry a woman or a man who will not start blaming you when there is a problem, but can do it when the problem is solved. Who will not blame you when there is a problem, but rather do the blame at all when the problem is solved? I teach leaders this. Remember, me and Pastor Jake had the conversation this morning on this. I said, don't come back to me and tell me a problem. I need to know what the problem is, but tell me you have a solution or it has been solved. That's the effectiveness of relationships. Okay? That's not good. Okay? Who will blame you, blame you, blame you? Let me say something. I will come to this also. You see, nobody does well under nagging. Nobody does well under nagging. When you're nagging, hey, this and that, that and that, this and that, this and that. No. Oftentimes, people find better friends when they find people who will not always be there to nag at them. In other words, what are we saying? We're basically saying, just know who you are with. Many of us don't know how judgmental we are. Now quickly, let me just, somebody wrote this, and I'm a preacher. He said, 7 ways to make a bad decision. And I'm just going to run through the things he said. And this is both in ministry and in life. And then, just make something out of it. So when you make decisions too fast, I've learned that haste does indeed make haste. And so you will be a poor leader if you are always too fast. Learn to wait. Seek God and the counsel of others. Seek what the Word of God has to say. Have discernment. Don't do things too quickly. Also, you make a bad decision when you make decisions too slow. At times you have to do things immediately or soon enough. So therefore, the difference in knowing the truth, or the fact in knowing the truth, is to be led by the Spirit of God and to act on the Word. Number 3, don't make decisions to make people happy. This is vital. My mom wants me to marry. My friends are getting married. My friends are asking me. All my friends are in America. Hey, except you want to be a clown, don't make people happy the first reason why you are doing anything. The right decisions oftentimes are not popular decisions. People pleasing as a decision motivator rarely accomplished matters of worth. Most of the time, people pleasing gets you the worst decisions or options available. So don't make decisions to make people happy. Doesn't make decisions to make people sad, but don't make that your priority. Also, don't make decisions when you are angry. Of course, you should know that. Anger is a sin. And don't take those kind of decisions. Oh, you're angry. First of all, deal with the anger. I told you on Sunday, patience does far better than anger does. First of all, deal with the anger. As you keep growing old, and I know you know this, you wish you were more patient earlier on. I mean, if you could just know, if I just waited a bit. You know, I remember myself and my classmates were having this conversation over one day. We were all young. Everybody just left university. And so, they got into cars. So, they met for the first time as a classmate. So, they met at one of these restaurants. So, everybody was trying to show off the kind of cars. Of course, somebody would borrow, somebody would maybe steal. But they brought the cars together. And so, they got on Third Miller Bridge. And it was very late. So, they decided to say who was going to get to mainland fastest. And so they all went pew, 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 and nothing happened. So we now reviewed that decision. What they did was quite some years ago. And they said, what was wrong with us? What was really wrong with me? You know, and that is the thing about life. Sometimes you wish, what was really wrong with me? Why did I move too quickly? Why did I overreact? Anger always does the wrong thing. Also, never make a decision alone without the counsel of God's word. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail. With many advisors, they succeed. So, a Christian must learn to consult God's word and God's spirit to make decisions. Furthermore, number 6, don't make a decision to react. No. Be deliberate. Be rational. Think through. Pray through. Then take a decision. Don't react. You know, I told you about doing pepper them. Pepper them, you are the one that will get peppered. Because you are, I'll show you. I'll do this. I'll do that. Doesn't make sense. Don't react. Oh, somebody broke up with you. You want to take your broken life to go and meet somebody else, and then there will be two broken vessels. Don't react. And that's why sometimes when you discover that, certain things, I've had times that somebody will do something funny, and I will know what the person is doing, and I want to write something to maybe react. And if I check deep down my spirit, I know this is wrong. So, it's always advisable, before you react, or you act, take your time. Sometimes 24 hours will tell you, you shouldn't have done it at all. So, ensure you are not reacting. Also, don't take decisions out of fear. Fear. Some people say, well, they say, something, woman's clock, a man's clock, and all that. Don't do things like that. That's unreasonable and very, very unreasonable. Not out of fear. Fear shouldn't be a motivator. It's a very bad one. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God hasn't given the spirit of fear, but the law, power, and sound mind. You should know that, and don't take that kind of decision. So let's come to a critical element. That's why we're here tonight. Just went through something. Don't worry. I'll be done soon. Soon enough, maybe an hour plus. But I'm going to be done today on this subject. Now, have you ever thought about the place of the leading of the Spirit of God in your relationships? What do I mean by that? Ensure relationships that you are in. I mean from the 12, right? To the 3, right? To the 1. In Luke 6, does it not intrigue you that in verse 12, Jesus prayed before he chose his friends? He prayed. He was led. You know, he was led to Judas. He was also led to Peter. In Luke 22, and verse 37, he equally knew what was going to happen to Peter. Verse 31 and 32. Well, through to 37. He equally knew 22. Okay. Luke 22, verse 31. Through to 37. But precisely verse 31. Satan has desired to sift you. Okay. As wheat. I prayed for you. Very key. So therefore, ensure that you do not despise the supernatural in relationships. If you look back, you'll be grateful. Now, I'm not saying definitely you're going to hear a voice or see thunder roll. No, but you can say, well, God led me to this person. And God led this person to me. It doesn't mean that that those relationships will not be with their own tests and trials. No. But ensure that you look at the place of the Holy Ghost in all of your relationships. When people reach out to you to be your friend, don't neglect the inward witness. Don't. I always talk about this story of a lady who was in a relationship with a guy that was in the 90s. I've mentioned this relationship so well that people know the story. The guy was working for DHL. So, very cool guy. You know, all these guys that don't get angry, don't get sad, always smiling. And so she said that she just discovered that anytime that they were together, it was fine. But when they were in the church, or when she just has this strange witness in her spirit. So I said, what you're going to do about it is just pray about it. And give yourself some time. She did. Because I was wise enough to say, God is saying something. No, I won't say that. So she came back months after she found out the guy was an homosexual. That's what she found out. So she now came to me again. You know, people can play you. What do you think? Me? I said, it's just for you to know what you like. Why are you laughing? So whether you want to now unlike it, is, let me stop there. But the truth is, there's a place of the inward witness to begin it. But let's not stop there. You know, there's also the place of the inward witness in how you act in relationships. And this is the core of my teaching today. Many of us need to learn how to maintain relationships by the leading of the Spirit. And I'm talking to families, friends, and different kinds of, you know, associations that exist within the body of Christ. Sometimes you want to talk, and what you want to say is the right thing. But it's good to be led. Some of us are quick to talk. James 1:19 says, be slow to speak, swift to hear, and slow to wrath. There's a place of, you know, that's what I see. You can say, my husband, and you're my wife. I can say anything. Not all the time. There's sometimes you can actually be led before you say something. And sometimes like that, I want to talk to a friend or folks. I've learned that over the years. I just will spend some time to pray. To pray before I said anything at all. You don't like something your spouse has done, or your friend, or even people you pastor. Sometimes you just pray. At times you'll be led to say nothing eventually. And we need to realize that if relationships are divine, then they have divine rules. If they are supernatural, they have supernatural rules. And if I know, for example, that friendship is to sharpen me, shape me, and minister to me, I will know there's more to our friendship than what the eye can see. So therefore, I learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8 verse 16 says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are God's children. And that is the word somatorio, that is the witness of the Spirit, in the Spirit, Romans 9 and 1, Romans 2, 15. So, whenever I hear about the leading of the Spirit, I must apply it equally in relationships. If many of us, I'm talking about supernaturally instituted relationships. That is, this is by God's Spirit. So, if you are going to have the one, or the three, or the 12 who are closer to you, then you should be led. And if you are led to be in, you should be led inside it. In the relationship. There are some things you will find out that all you need to do about it is just pray about it. Some say nothing. Say nothing. I once had God tell me this about someone close to me. He said, don't say anything about this. I just showed you that he will sort it out himself. And you know, it took about 4 years, and the person sorted it out. And I said, wow. If I had said something, it would have ruined the whole thing. Sometimes we need to know how we manage relationships. You can be led by God in the relationship. I suppose make the mistake. We overrate the physical part of marriage, for example. We are together, we have children, we have bills to pay, and all of that. And we forget that we have an enemy that is not physical as it were. And so we choose not to. And people, I remember I went for a counseling somewhere, myself and you know, some folks, and we saw the. So as I got into the place to counsel the couple, and I've known that over the years, and I remember, I'll talk about another one later, but I got there, so we had spoken for about 3 hours or 4 hours. We had spoken for a long time. You know, I called the woman and the husband were fighting, it was a real fight. I mean, they were both in the ministry, but they fought, you know, in the ministry. They fought each other, wanted to tear each other's clothes publicly. The body of Christ was not there. But the body of the antibody of Christ was there. So things had gone really bad. So I came into the picture, of course. Those who came with me felt it was an impossible case. I said, it's not impossible. They said, Pastor, this matter. I said, cool down. Of course I prayed. In fact, the way I did it was, I'd heard about the problem for a while, but I didn't go until I was led. I just said, I'm going tomorrow. So I just left. And I knew that I was going to resolve the matter. So we went, we traveled, we got there, and then we saw the couple, because I didn't know, let the man know the woman was coming. So as she, and normally in life, when somebody alone is talking about something against another person, when the person enters, the story reduces. You know, have you ever noticed that? Like the less is more kind of thing. You know? So as we began to talk, you know, we had spoken. I had looked at the issues and all that. But somehow I knew this was not the issue. They had said everything. Hey, he said this to me, and he said that to me, and he did this one to me. He did one to me, and he died. I didn't even see anything. My other friend said, Pastor. I said, this is not, there's nothing here. This is a marital couple. This is a marriage purpose issue. There's nothing special about this one. But I knew in my spirit that there was something else we had not resolved. And they had gone over everything, all the false accusations, we destroyed it. But I said, this is not it. So I asked the question. When I asked the question, then after 4 hours, the husband said, I think this is the problem. It was something nobody thought was the problem. They had never confessed to each other. That was the problem. So I said, no, it shouldn't be a problem. We had spent 4 hours on what was not the problem. And our counsel was 100% right. But that was not the problem. So when I entered this was the problem, we now sat down. And I would give them my counsel from experience. To the glory of God, they are working together in ministry now. Everything is resolved. There's a place of being led. Even when you are called to resolve issues, there's a place of being... You are a person of the Spirit. So, if you are counseling couples, pray. Is that clear? Don't go and say, my grandmother told me this when I was a child. Shut up, please. They also have grandmother. Be led by the Spirit of God. Have you ever wondered sometimes why your pastor will rebuke somebody for what someone else did, and he didn't say anything? That's being led. There are certain people you say, why you do that? So just you say, thank you for doing it. No. You just say anything. Because pastoring is beyond saying on the pulpit. This guy is praying for you. So they know certain things, they say, no, don't say anything here. Just hold on. And so, Jesus sometimes will rebuke some. He will encourage others. So really, your reactions or actions should be led by the Spirit. It's not everything you handle the same way. Know when to hug the woman at the well. Know when to say, don't do that again. Know that a Peter will deny you, but you will pray. So always know that. So naturally, look at Luke 10. Jesus spoke to Martha. Look at something. He spoke to Martha about Martha being careful about many things. Luke 10, 38 to 42. And then, just in John 11, it was the same Martha that believed that the brother was going to be raised from the dead, not Mary. So things, tables can turn. And so you know what to say appropriately to each person. I must know how to be led by the Spirit in relationship. In other words, as I pray, I hear from God. Sometimes your husband does something in the morning and God will tell you, don't talk about it. And there will sometimes he did something you didn't know and God will show you and say, talk about this. Sometimes it's also good to know what to say. Sometimes, you know, being led of the Spirit is not just about you go for evangelism, then you say, your father, I want to preach you. What a knowledge. Sometimes it's just your friend picks the phone and you start talking. And then he wonders, did you know what I was going to talk to you about? That's friendship. And that also goes into the home. No matter how many principles you learn from the world, the world remains the world and it doesn't solve problems. The world creates the problem it's trying to solve. Learn to be led by the Spirit of God. And sometimes when you are led by the Spirit of God, the things you are going to do are going to be stupid and foolish. But that's just how God is leading you. So, in relationships, just like Jesus did the 12, then the 3, and then Peter, be led by the Spirit of God. Are you following this? Be led by the Spirit of God. Be led. Watch this. We can preserve relationships when we are led. Amen. Say amen. Amen. We can preserve one another when we are led. We can. When we allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit of God. Like I said the other day, always see the bigger picture. There is always the bigger picture in supernatural relationships or relationships that you are led by the Spirit of God into. Are you there? Your entire walk with God, including your relationship with people who God has chosen for you, must be guided by the Spirit of God. What about Jesus saying that everything I see the Father do is what I do? I don't do anything except I hear the Father tell me. So there are many times you will go against your own personality, your background, how you were brought up, etc., etc. And I said, many of us here in this service and under the sound of my voice, you need to renew your mind. In your mind from your past, in your mind from how you were brought up, your background, even your culture. Renew your mind from that. And be led by the Spirit of God. If you allow your personality, your past to becloud your judgment, there will be relationships that should have been that will never be. And those who are that should never have been. And there will be those who should be and are will be destroyed because you walked in the flesh. Hear me. The flesh profits nothing. John 6:63. So, know fully well that you cannot handle, as it were, a relationship even that looks like it's of the flesh, by the flesh. Be led by the Spirit of God. Now let me say this to women and also men who are married. Learn not to pile up issues. I for one do something, and pastors know this, all those who are close to me know this. I don't like you piling up issues and talking to me at once about it. I mean, this and this and this. But then I get to know I'm lost. And that's the truth. Don't pile up issues. You know, sometimes we think, you are still trying to say, you did this, and the guy is trying to say, oh, I didn't know. And this, the other four can wait forever. You don't have to mention them. Do you get the point? We like to pile up issues. The guy, and sometimes we wait till that moment. And the guy does something wrong. Or the girl, that is how that day, that is how, And he says, that is the accuser. Are you sure? Why did you pile it up? And you waited. And you'll be giving dates. February 18th. December 4th. It destroys relationships. If anyone that can keep that for long has already broken a trust principle. Don't do that. Don't pile issues up. You know, there are some things that you want to say, and God will say, don't talk about it. This thing is close to my heart. Don't talk about it. And later on, you find out that you should never have spoken about it at all. Not at all. Hear me. I tell couples, this is off track, but I can say it off record, but I can say that, see, anyone that cannot handle your past without using it, don't be led otherwise. So, without using it. Because some people, it's only in church that they forgive and forget. When they get to anything you do, they'll use your past. And the people like that, they ruin relationships. They wreck it. Because finding fault and being accusatory is of the devil. So don't say, oh, it was not of God. No, the reason was of God, but you played the devil. What could give Peter the boldness to preach on the day of Pentecost? Solid and sound friendship. Solid and sound friendship. Therefore, let me add this. See, hurting people hurt others. What did I say? Say it again. Hurting people hurt others. If you are afraid, right? Deal with the fear. Or you will infect your friends with fear. If you're paranoid, suspicious, that's exactly what you are going to do. So one of the things that I contribute to my relationships is my spiritual growth. I mustn't infect my friends with doubt, fear, suspicion. Some guys, all they do to their friends is tell them, don't take it from your husband though. Don't take it from your husband though. You better go and do this. And those of us who are matured by Nollywood, you are a disciple. What's the other one again? There's one Indian one. Huh? See, they are so disciples that when they now see things in the movie, that's on me. They begin to act out those things. So you need to contribute your spiritual growth to your relationship, to your marriage. That is why when you see that your spouse is always watching movie, let me say something quickly. My friend, there's a friend of ours today, we minister for him a lot outside the country. One of the reasons why he embraced the gospel the way he has done was his wife. He said the wife had the TV always on KLM. Always. So we always watch Dr. Damina and all of that. And so that influenced him. Always. That's the wife. Imagine if all she watched at home was African movie magic. She would know about children, all sorts of things. And then she will act it out the same way. That is why, no matter how strong you are, your spouse will influence you. If you like, have glorified body. Do you get it? Have glorified body. Like this, your body can pass through walls. Spouse will influence you. Sometimes, you will be helpless. Yes. There are people today whose ministries are taken over by their wives. I didn't understand it. Years ago, I was telling my father, why would you concede like that? He said, you will find out. I said, what? He said, you will find out though. It's not like the man is weak. He has no choice. Selah. So hear me well. You should contribute your spiritual. So if you find your friend, your spouse, your husband, your wife, somebody you want to marry, all you're doing, movie. So hip hop come together. Movie. Do you know where you are going to? Your life will be full of movies. Hear me. That's not the kind of person that will say God said, though. There's no God said in movie, though. It's pure, for sure. That's what you're going to be doing in your house. Yoruba have been saying, when your friend is eating insects, and you have not warned your friend, you both will do VG. When he wakes up, you wake up. So when you say, don't eat the insect, you're also preserving your sleep. Do you understand my point? Mm-hmm. Hope I'm making sense. Hurting people hurt others. That is why, do not continue in relationships or even marry anyone who has an identity crisis. How about somebody who in church say, who you say I am? Oh, that song again. I sang one already. I'm proud of my heritage, and that's all. When you are together, the masquerade removes his clothes. See, I'm facing reality. Now that can happen. But let's face reality. Let's act on the word. Because there's coming a day. Somebody in your 12 or 3. I can even be a Peter. That's trouble. It takes Jesus to have a Peter. People that have identity crisis. Therefore, a fellow must know who he is in Christ. Don't be in a relationship or marry someone who has an identity crisis. Who has to, anything in vogue, he's doing it. Everybody is scraping their hair, she does it. That one has an identity problem. Anything, every slang, anything raining, don't you have a personality in Christ Jesus? So therefore, Hebrews 2:11 says, he that is sanctified, and who has sanctified all of one, for this cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. A fellow who has embraced his reality in Christ. This is who I am in Christ Jesus. When storms of life come, when challenges come, that can stand ease on our ground on God's word. Don't marry somebody who has an identity problem. You get it? You must know who you are. A fellow that cannot identify himself in Christ cannot identify you as a friend. How God sees me is how I expect my friend to see me. And how God sees my friend is how I want to see my friend. I want to be a friend that will call his friend. I am the vine, you are the branches. Go and say to my friends, my brethren, I go to my father, your father, John 21:17. That's friendship. We know who we are in Christ. Lord, I'm saying, I remember one couple like that. My son and brother also go to the house in the year 2000. So the husband, it's only the woman and the man that, and the son that are doing morning devotion. The man will be there. He'll be sitting like that. Evening devotion. And praying with the child. So one day, the husband now said something. I said, you should not be saying that again now. At least say it in the bedroom. He goes, that's of me I believe, oh. So everything she was telling us about, you know, that they are doing the word, we just saw it. Of course, we didn't say anything because we were sleeping there overnight. And they had one dog outside, so it's just good. Just said, it's okay. Let's just, it's not an equal yolk, it's an equal egg. Everything is against each other. Marry people that honor you. Mark 6. A prophet that honor except in his own household. Well, that is not supposed to be. You should have those who honor you. Honor who you are in Christ. When David asks, what is man that you are mindful of him? Psalm 8. Son of man that you visit him. We found out that man is Jesus Christ and we identify with him. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 6 through to 13. So therefore, in our relationships, we don't just do what we feel. We act who we are. Amen. Amen. You know, if we are friends, okay? If both of us are very good friends, I know you're a new creature, I'm a new creature. So we are two new creatures who are friends. We're not joking when we say we are God's children. We're not joking when we say we are born of the Spirit. We're not just singing songs. That is what we will also act in our relationship. So don't, someone has an identity crisis that wants to please the world, that wants to do this one, will be, get you into trouble. So therefore, don't act how you feel. Don't talk how you feel. You know what? Just act on the word. Act on the word. Act on the word. Amen. Say, in my relationships, I act on the word. I don't act how I feel. I control how I feel. By the word. Amen. That's how you do in your home.
when you get home.
Not act how you feel. Don't say, I want to be myself. No. That yourself is born of God. Is that clear? I want to be myself. I want to marry somebody who is going to be myself. Who is that self? That self is in Christ. So I want someone that is going to promote who I am in Christ. Who will tell me, hey, should I? No. What you just said to your friend is wrong. You just spoke evil. You shouldn't have done that. Of course, you won't call the friend and say, he spoke, no, I'm saying to me. See, then you do the word. You do the word. No, you don't do that. You don't have your spouse, lock somebody's dress in the public and say, yes, darling, go ahead, darling. What's that? Of course, you don't do that publicly. When you get home, say, that conduct is not of God. You shouldn't have done that. You blew the lead. Let's pray together. Let's pray about it. Let's pray about it. That's exactly how friends are. Amen. And so, you must, don't have someone who has identity crisis, doesn't know who she is in Christ Jesus. A fellow, for example, goes for a dinner, and then tries to be like people there. No. I don't take alcohol because I believe that a minister should not. I once went for a dinner, and high people were there, and said, everybody, and everything on the table was alcohol. I said, I'm not taking. I said, water. I said, what's up now? I said, oh, Jesus. No. I don't do sea meal. I go somewhere. I was in one restaurant one day, recently. Someone said, Korean food. I said, I've never been there before. So what do you want? Rice. It's internationally accepted. I said, Exciting. I said, Oga, my stomach is not seen of men. How will I now be eating to be seen of men? I don't know. I will eat what I know. I was with someone and we had this lunch with a lot of people from different countries. And my friend, a friend of mine was together. So he was behind me. He said he was watching me. New York, but he knows I relate to people. So he was not following me. He said, Emuchi, you're not eating this thing. I said, I don't know it. He said, no. Rice. Eja alana. Come on. You understand? So he was following me. He said, man, you give me boldness. I said, I don't joke with my stomach. I'll not be pleasing you. Then I'll be eating. And I said, how is it? How's the food? Oh, thank you. I don't have an identity crisis. I'm a Yoruba boy. If I'm anywhere, I was in America recently. Let me share this with you. And we're in a conference. So somebody was coming around to greet myself. Pastor was here. Somebody came to greet us. So the person came and just prostrated for him. He said, I know you are from Saints Community. I said, why? He said, they're the kind of people that do this kind of things in America. Interestingly, the guy was not from Saints Community. He said, but I follow you a lot, and you have taught us how to behave. And the guy was living in America. He didn't have what? Identity crisis. Yeah, in America, I said, you're not somebody that you prostrate for in Lagos. Goodness, sir. You have a problem. See, I will see, I'm talking about ministers who are from Americas, not black ones. I prostrate. This is how I go. Yes. That's how I was here. I don't get what I say. Hello, hi. I will see an something here, old man, I say, hello, help yourself. Be proud of your honor culture. Did you hear me? Be proud of it. I was at the airport in Atlanta, I saw someone in the car, somebody, of course I like him personally. But I saw him. And he was to be on the queue. I said, sir, come and take my place. I carried his bag. I prostrated. He said, thank you, young man. I said, GCI. So, wow. No, it's a fact now. No. You should be proud that you're honoring. Some people that don't have nothing in their pocket. Nothing. Certificate. Nothing. Everything. Nothing. They're like, hi. See, I don't have an identity crisis. I know who I am in Christ. Anywhere I am part of my heritage. I act on God's word. Are you following what I'm saying? Mind somebody who doesn't have an identity crisis trying to please people. He will use you for sacrifice. Okay. In our friendships also, we know that there are different seasons. Different seasons. Different seasons You know, how many of you have tried to walk bare chested? Okay, this is Nigeria, so it may be difficult. But walk bare chested in winter, something like that. You know, you might die. But also when you have summer, where it's sunny, you can actually walk the same way. Some of you have the seasons in life. There are some things that you can do 2014, you can't 2020. Because the seasons have changed. Right? So there are some seasons. For example, you and your husband could have times of argument a lot. You know, but now you have kids. You have to know that they are going to be listening to you. So you amend how you used to behave. Seasons. When you're on campus, you have time to go and sit near a senior building. I know that place. They've been using that place for years. For parole matters. In fact, if you know when they first built it, because I was in staff school then, when they built that place, I think, yeah. So, the first things we noticed about that place was, of course, these are UNILAC students, so they would go there and take picture. Because it was a very unique building. You know. So, but then you know that you can't continue doing that when you now have a job. Those things you do, let's go and take suya. Seasons have changed. Someone is coming back from work and it's Lagos. Where he has been trafficked in traffic. You get my point? So seasons have changed. So therefore you look at, sometimes you have to follow your spirit a lot. You know, in how you do some of those things. For example, sometimes you have financial challenges. A couple of things. You have people sometimes are married and then they don't have a child yet. And, you know, there's some stupid questions people ask. I don't ask people that are married, do you have children? I think it's a stupid question. Those are senseless questions that people ask. I don't ask boy or girl. No, I'm Aphrodite. I don't ask such stupid questions. So, even in relationships, know what you are not going to say. And sometimes, say some things you shouldn't flaunt. Why? Because you are being sensitive. Others don't have it. Explain. You're just being a Christian. After all, the Bible says you boast nothing of this life. Including family. So we must know how to walk together in different seasons of life. And control our attitudes. If you will not open your chest to the rain, or wear a cardigan in the sun. There are some people, they wear shades inside the building. That's nice. Some sunny seasons are spiritual, so you may not know. Control your attitude in seasons, okay? Is that clear? Are you getting what I'm talking about? So always know this is season of this. We're maturing, we're growing, and stuff like that. Your husband, your wife, your friend is now a pastor. There's a way. Now this is not something you don't have to apply this, but you see, if you disrespect or treat your husband or your wife in such a way that you don't respect the person's office in the body of Christ, that's how people are going to see them. And like I told you, a good friend does not allow people to disrespect you. So therefore, ensure that in seasons of life, you know what to do and what not to do. You know, I was talking to my friend today. I said, how many of us can be like Jesus' mother, Mary? Mary breastfed Jesus, carried him for 9 months, must have cleaned his poo, did clean his poo. You know, must have had Jesus cry for milk and all that. Yet she chose to be the disciple of his disciples. So saying that because you are married to a man and you have sex every day and you don't become see finish. It's not an excuse. It's still, there's nothing that can be as open as a mother and a child. Not husband and wife. The mother carried the child for 9 months. Saw him grow. Saw him at moments where you probably never saw him. And then he said, my Lord. She said, my Lord. So being married to a man or a woman is not a stupid reason or stupid enough to deny their place in the body of Christ. Therefore, I said earlier, don't give your friends in an atmosphere. Don't give your friends an atmosphere for threats. I'll leave you. I'll leave you. Yeah, who got married? I'm even thinking. Many people have come to ask me. Rubbish. One day. One day now, one day. All your shakara. There was one guy like that. He would go to his dad. Daddy, I need this, I need this, and I'll fail my exam. The man did it. After he finished the exam. Daddy, I need this. If I don't get it, I won't go back to school. The man said, no problem. Say, Daddy, I said school. Say, I heard you. You have spent your last card. So don't put people under threats. I didn't look. See. One thing I know is that there's only one person that cannot be replaced, is Jesus. If you think you are irreplaceable, let me see what I want to say. After we are treated you, after a while it will be so. If I will say, I can't see you. You know that you are passed. You are. Don't get to the point where you'll be treated that way. Don't be stressed. That's not how to. You know when it comes to children too. When you are after a while, when you are hard. At some point, you are use your hardness. You now master it, and then that means then they are no longer in awe of you. It's no longer respect. It's now fear of king. After a while, you bring the hand and say, oh, "Daddy, easy," and that's it. That's the end. Say, "Ah, I did that for my father." That's your father. You are my own. So don't raise folks in atmosphere of threats and fear. 1 John 4:17-18. Perfect love does what? It does what? Jesus made Peter comfortable even after denial. How many of you have been like that? He went to see him privately. And Peter had the boldness to preach on the day of Pentecost. Perfect love casts out fear. For fear has torment. Don't make people be afraid. You are going to leave them. See, one day you will leave and nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. Are you following what I'm saying here? Don't make people always feel they owe you. They owe you. I say that to sometimes when couples say, somebody was unfaithful, he has done that. Okay, forgive him. And then you want to hold it. Hey, look. You are overdoing it. And after a while, you will lose the man in your stupidity. Person has repented, God has forgiven. They say, you lose the relationship. You know, you can marry somebody in the same house and you are not married. And that's the truth. Because you have released threat, fear, accusation into the atmosphere. God is our friend. And He loves us. He loves us unconditionally. Are you following what I'm saying? Let's add a few things. Learn to handle access well. Don't lose it. Don't lose access. I shared something on Facebook. Go and read it. It was shared by Pastor Bayo Adeyinka. I forgot to put Pastor behind his name. He's the pastor of Charis Church in Ikeja. How, you know, some people lose it. Imagine your boss at work. Come. Your boss at work, maybe you are graduate trainee. It's MD. How are you now? Then it does like this to you. Right? Like this to you. Good boy, good guy, you know, I like your job. Then you go. Then the next day, you now do like this back. You know, the people in your village have come after you. Or as it does this, you too, you do your hand like this. You know, they are doing you. Don't mishandle access. Are you following my point? Don't. The day you can't call somebody again, is the day you know the value. But don't let it get to that. Don't let it get to that. Value access. What did I say? Value access. Value the access you have into people's life. I said this on Sunday, and I thought I said it enough for you to think about it. Don't be like the African that values people when they have died, when they are dead. It's a spirit of witchcraft. You know, have a saying, it's when people die, they make statues. When they were alive, what did you do? Many of us now value people when we have lost them. It's not just about death. You now lose that companionship, that true friendship, because you wasted the access. You allowed a trivial matter, something you could have taken care of. Today, when you now have friends that you are doing what you didn't do to a better friend to, you wish you didn't do what you did. Don't get silly. Treat access well. Today we celebrate when they are gone. It was Pastor Chris that first mentioned this years ago, and that day I was so sober. So when people are going, you know, I say, oh, he was. Why didn't you ever say he is? When we now lose it. People that before you knew them, you were practically shaking to get their number. They sent you their number. You're like, ah, thank you, sir. Then after I went, start calling them 2 a.m. That devil that does WhatsApp messaging possessed you. And you were trying to... You are trying to broadcast. I didn't know the number to remove. Who is doing you? I have phone number, emails of respected people. Nothing has ever made me stupid. Very stupid to use them. Don't be silly. Don't misuse access. Is that very clear? We said sex, food, money are fickle. Don't build on them. Build on spirit-led relationships. Hope you are learning something. Every relationship is a risk. What did I say? Take it again. Why is it like that? Let me ask you. You know, no matter how spiritual somebody is today, he can become carnal tomorrow. Who agrees? Come on. Are you there? Somebody can be walking with God today and walk with God tomorrow. So, the fact that you are led by God into it does not mean he's still not a risk. He's human. He can disobey God. So, minimize your risks. What do I mean by that? Be led by God. Yeah. Pray about it. Yeah. And it's better I see somebody who obeys God now than somebody who doesn't know how to obey God at all. I had a friend like that. Like a disciple. He left Nigeria, went to start a church abroad. And then when he was in Nigeria, he would pray, you know, believe God, all that. As soon as he got abroad and money came and all that, he changed the things he was doing. So I had a lady here that he was supposed to marry. So when the lady found out that he was no longer in ministry, he had abandoned the church, gave it to a new convert, she said she wasn't interested in the relationship again. So he came to me, came to beg, what do we do and all that. I said, okay, let's go to her. Let me see what she has to say. So we got to our place at, what was that place again? This article, what was it again? Dolphin. Okay, I said it on Sunday now. Dolphin Estate. And then I got to our house and said, okay, let me see her priority. She said, look, this guy is not taking ministry seriously. I am sold out to the ministry. I cannot have a husband that I'm believing God for his spiritual growth. Say, me, I need somebody that will help me. I said, yeah. The guy said, what did she say? Good news, let's go. So, till tomorrow, I didn't tell him what she said. But he found out. Today on Facebook, the guy has a nightclub. And hip hop parade. So she was right. There's no reason good enough for you to move from ministry to DJ. Abi? Even if you are New Testament Job. Job did not worship idols. Abi? There is no reason strong enough. Don't say, everybody let me. Are you well? It is Jesus who won my heart. That's the kind of person you should love, oh? Don't love somebody that loves you above every other thing in the world, Christ Jesus. The only person that deserves unqualified commitment is Jesus. And that kind of a person is the person you can do life with. Do you understand what I'm saying? As friends, as a couple, etc., etc. So, minimize your risk, follow the inward witness. Never forget that emotions are bad judgments. Let me begin to close on a few things. And hear it well. In relationships, like I said, be led in your conversations. You see, there's a difference between communication and conversation. Let me just quickly talk about that. The Bible says that we should choose our words. Our words should be in due season. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. He says, let your words minister grace. Ephesians 4:29. They are, know the difference between a conversation and a confrontation. They are both communication. In relationships, learn the difference. Some of us, when we want to talk to our friends, our partners, our spouses, we go in a judgmental format. Critical. We already made up our minds that we are right, they are wrong. It destroys relationship. Proving that you are right all the time will destroy your relationship. If God can take our sins to have this kind of friendship we have with Him, how much more with our friends? When you are going to confront, you'll be judgmental, critical. But when you want to have a conversation, you are open, you are fair, you love, and then you are doing it for the person. Yo, what did you, why did you do this? Why did you do this? Do you want to kill me? Confrontation, judgmental, critical. I found out that you put off this. I want to understand why, because I felt you shouldn't. Conversation. Oh, I did it because of so, so and so. It brings openness, then we can have, I can have what you say. I could be wrong. You could be right. But, if I knew, if I did! Sometimes we fail to help our spouses and partners, even out of trouble, where we are critical, judgmental, not open, not even ready to ask, why? You already say, I know why! Are you God? Let's learn to have conversations. What happened? And I'm saying, I know! Who are you? So don't destroy relationships by such kind of communication. Are you learning something? You know, even in marriage, you know, as it is, even if you marry a friend, you marry your pastor, whoever, somebody has to be the leader. Somebody has to be in charge. Have you seen two people try to drive a car? It looks like they're crazy. Is that the second person is a thief? So it's not likely. Even though those in the car, I mean, also have you tried to drive people who sleep off when you're driving? You don't like it, that? Same way. So you neither want a domineering partner or a sleeping one. Same thing as a plane. The co-pilot is supposed to be a pilot, but they both cannot be the chief pilot. Do you understand that? Learn that in all marital relationships. And so anyone you don't respect, don't get married to. You must respect, that's a man wise, and also for a woman. I must respect my wife. I must respect the call of God upon her life. I must respect her talents. I must respect her potentials as well. I said it before, do not overrate sex. It's silly. Don't do it. Don't overrate sex. Don't. It's not even, people talk about it a whole lot. Because people that don't love themselves have sex. That's the plain truth. The sites that are the most patronized in the world are pornographic sites. So that shows you that that's just what it is. So don't overrate it. Look at values, friendship. Look at the big picture. What's God's plan for my life? No matter how sexy a woman looks, it has a limit, except she goes for surgery. But someone you can't do life with, someone you can't have conversation with, all you want are physical comfort. It can't be like that all the time. Be led by the Spirit of God. Be somebody that follows what God has to say. Now let's quickly look at one story. And I just mention it. And I want to end here. Just now. I'm going to take it off again sometimes in May. I look at Michal and David and how she spoke to him in mockery. And kind of felt, what's the big deal? Why do you dance like this publicly? And I thought to myself, really, this is funny, you know. She must have known him as a boy, but she never saw him as a king. And there are people like that who are not smart. You need to see your spouse, your friend, primarily in the eyes of God. Michal never had children after. We don't know why. I mean, David never again had sexual intimacy. We don't know. But the fact remains that she was such a bad example in scripture. We had a Sarah. We had, you know, other people, Anna, who you could see that they were used as the examples of women in marriage. So do not think. And this is the point. Why do couples do like that to each other, whether it's husband or wife? It's because sexual intimacy oftentimes breeds familiarity. Okay, that's no big deal. I've seen this man naked and all of that. I've seen this woman naked and all that. But it's only somebody who is born of the flesh that reasons that way. I must be led by the Spirit. I must act on God's word. This fellow in my house, this woman, this man is God's man, God's woman, God's servant. I want you to get out of this place and treat your relationships well. Let me end by saying this. Marriage, singleness are choices. None of them is blessed. It's just a choice. Get married? It's okay. You don't get married? It's okay. They're choices. So don't put on due expectations on anything. They're there to contribute. I believe God that you will take your relationship seriously, be led by the Spirit of God in them, walk in the Spirit in them, honor them. Don't be a Michal. Don't be Jesus' hometown folks. Don't be people like that. Be a friend. Be a good friend. Know how to treat relationships supernaturally. You are born of God. Let that reflect in your relationships. Amen. You learn something?